Welcome once again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, and this week we switch to fictional crime. We are going to shine our spotlight on a lighthearted but hard-boiled detective in the Richard Diamond Private Detective series. The series began in 1949 without a sponsor, and this week we feature two of those early shows. Dick Powell stars as Richard Diamond, and Ed Begley as his friend, homicide detective Lieutenant Walter Levinson. With Virginia Gregg as his girlfriend, Helen, in this episode written by Blake Edwards. Here is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, Fred Sears Murder Case. First broadcast June 19th, 1949, on NBC.
Here's Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hello there. My name's Diamond, and I'm known along the big street as a guy who manages to keep his nose pretty clean and still make a few bucks while I'm doing it. Oh, sure, it gets a little grimy, but you've got to expect that. I'm a shamus, private eye, gumshoe. To the guy who hasn't ever been worried because he tripped over a corpse in his breakfast nook, I'm known as a private detective. And to some guys, I'm known by a lot of other names. Not the kind you'd find in a book on manners and social usages. But there are times when you might turn up on your desk calendar under the heading of what I must do today. Who hires me? How do I make a living? Well, maybe this will give you an idea.
Fred, why don't you eat your toast? It's getting cold.
Why don't you stop worrying about the temperature of my breakfast? I'm trying to read the paper.
Did anyone ever tell you how charming it is to have breakfast with you every morning?
Yeah. My ulcers.
I'd like to go shopping today. Will you leave me some money? Fred, did you hear me?
Mary, I'm reading.
Well, stop reading and listen to me for a minute. I need some new summer clothes and I want to go shopping today.
Here. Here's $10. Buy yourself a bathing suit.
Oh, that's very funny.
Hmm?
I need more than $10. I want $500.
What kind of a bathing suit are you going to buy, Mink?
I'm not going to buy a bathing suit. I need some new clothes. Will you put down that paper and listen to me?
Well, I see you made Jimmy Cello's column again, my darling.
What?
What prominent socialite is fighting with her wealthy husband and crying on the shoulder of a big-time playboy after the arguments?
Is that supposed to be me?
Can you remember 5 minutes in the past 5 years when we haven't been fighting?
Are you accusing me of running around with some playboy?
Running around is right. I expect one of you to be the first to do a four-minute mile.
How dare you?
How dare me? Why, you lushed-up little tramp.
Tramp?
Yeah, tramp. Everybody in town knows you're seeing Lauren Oliver.
All right, so I've been seeing him. We're just friends.
Well, that kind of friendship is grounds for divorce in this state.
Why, you dirty...
Shut up. I'm sick of this whole rotten mess. And I'm going to do something about it.
You're going to do something about it? Why, you conceited, pompous... You're going to do something, are you? Well, you better hurry up because I've got some ideas of my own.
Yeah?
Lauren.
Yeah, Mary?
I've got to talk to you.
What time is it?
10:00.
Well, it's still the middle of the night. Call me back
this
later.
This can't wait. Fred found an item about us in Jimmy Cello's column this morning. He stormed out of here like he was going to kill somebody.
Well, you're just the gal who can recognize the symptoms.
Well, that's a nasty line.
What do you want at 10 in the morning, Longfellow? Look, honey, I'll take care of Cello, and if that husband of yours gets out of line, I'll take care of him, too.
You see what I mean? If things like that didn't happen, I'd be out of business. I'll lay you 8 to 5 that before 3:00 this afternoon, one of those charming people will be walking into my office begging for help. Yeah?
Rick?
Oh, hello, Helen, baby.
Hi. You gonna take me out tonight?
Sure. I'll be over later. We'll have a quiet evening.
No. I want to go dancing tonight. If you don't take me, I'll throw a tantrum.
But, baby, I don't have the cash. I'm tapped this week.
Well, if you won't let me take you. Borrow it from Francis. You told me yourself he was good in a pinch.
Yeah, but he's already black and blue from those three lunches at Lindy's. Besides, he's not only your butler, but he's a darn good businessman. He wants security.
Well, give it to him.
He's already got my badge, my book on the 10 best ways to sneak through transoms, complete with illustrations, and my gun.
Haven't you got something else?
Yeah, but I'm saving the right eye in case of an emergency. Keyholes, you know. Look, honey, let's go take in a quiet movie.
And I want to get dressed up and go to a nightclub. It's summer. The flowers are blooming and the fox has left his lair.
His what?
Oh, I've been hibernating all winter and I want to get out into some nice, smoke-filled dance floor.
Why, Helen.
Why, Helen, nothing. Please, Rick.
Hold it. Someone's knocking at my chamber door. Come in.
Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, pull up a chair. I'll be right with you.
Who is it?
I'm afraid to look. I haven't paid the light bill.
This is a detective agency, isn't it?
You, sir, have just won yourself a new economy home-size murder sampler, complete with a matching set of bodies.
Me?
No.
I haven't got time to listen to your bright remarks, Diamond. I want to hire you.
What did he say?
He doesn't like my bright remarks. You won't even admit they're bright.
What else?
Oh, something about wanting to,
Something about what?
What was that last statement, sir? It sounded rather cozy.
I said I wanted to hire you.
What?
I'll call you later, baby. Bye.
Wait a minute. Now,
Mr.
Sears.
Mr. Sears, what can I do for you?
I want you to follow my wife.
Will I like the view?
She's running around with another man.
Well, if they're just running around, don't worry about it. It's when they get tired and slow down that things start to pop.
There was a veiled article in Jimmy Cello's column this morning about my wife and this man.
Yeah, I know Cello.
So do I, but I'm not interested in Cello at the moment.
Well, what do you want? Enough on your wife so you can get a divorce?
Yes.
Oh, well, that comes kind of high. I don't like cases like this, and I usually turn them down. If you want me to swallow my pride, it'll take a $200 retainer and $100 a day in expenses.
I'll write you a check.
Oh, just like that, huh?
I am quite wealthy. That's why I want the divorce, Mr. Diamond. There you are.
Yes, sir, there I am. Now, what's the man's name that your wife is seeing?
His name is Lorne Oliver.
Well, this is turning into a family gathering.
You know him?
Sure, runs the Monarch Club.
That's right.
What's your wife's name, and we're going to get a look at her?
Mary Sears. You can see her tonight at the Stork. We'll be there for dinner, 9 o'clock.
I'll be there. Oh, incidentally, that comes under the heading of expenses, in case you have a short memory.
I have a good memory, Mr. Diamond. You can send me the bill.
Oh, address and phone number?
45 East 65th Street.
45 East 65.
Evergreen 41793.
41793.
Now I've got to be going. Goodbye, Mr. Diamond.
Goodbye, Mr. Sears. Yeah?
What'd you hang up on me for?
Honey, this is because you always give me an argument. You never want to go anywhere. I'm getting tired of shows and hot dogs. I want to go dancing.
What?
And I don't mean Roseland. I want to go to the Stork. I'm a growing boy, and I like to see the bright lights and throw my money around.
But, Rick, you...
I'll pick you up at 8:30, and this time, don't wear slacks.
You're an idiot.
Bye, idiot. Yes, that's the way it goes, just as I told you. The word private in front of detective means you're married to all the troubles in the world, and that includes everything. So if a guy turns up who's unhappy with his wife, you listen to him howl, and if he's got enough money, you take the job. It's for better or for worse. And until Mr. Sears came in, it was decidedly one-sided. I'd teach cooking to a bunch of headhunters for a fee like the one he'd given me. When I looked at his $200 check, I started getting that big man complex again. So I closed the office and went back to my flat. We'd probably be up late, and Helen always had some extracurricular activities after we'd get back to her place. You know, roasting marshmallows, fast game of canasta, or an exciting round of Emmys on the living room rug. Anyway, I always got home pretty late in the a.m., so I spent the rest of the afternoon taking a nap. At 6 o'clock, I got up and dressed, and at 8:30, I picked up Helen. Wow. And at 9 o'clock, we were sitting at the Stark Club bar, right on schedule.
Rick, when are you going to ask for a table?
Well, honey, the drinks come faster here.
But I want to dance.
Oh, now. Mustn't overdo it, lover.
No.
How do you know? Maybe some mountain climber will ask you on a 20-mile hike tomorrow. Think of your feet.
I am. I want to move them around that dance floor. Oh, Rick, I know you. You do something, you do it all the way.
Yeah, let's, Nick.
Oh, now you stop that. You're on a job, and you don't want to go in there because you've got to watch somebody.
Well, Helen Asher, how are you, darling?
Hello, Lauren. How have you been?
Oh, couldn't be better. Why don't you ever stop over to my club? I'd like to show you around.
She just brought a seeing eye dog.
Oh, hello, Diamond.
You two know each other, don't you?
Yes. How did we make such a grisly mistake, Oliver?
I don't know. I tried taking penicillin for it, but it didn't do much good.
Well, it probably helped out in the other things. Why don't you try hanging yourself?
Rick.
You always did think you were a pretty funny man, didn't you, Diamond?
It's easy being a comic. You just find an idiot for an audience. How do you like the performance?
Stinks. Pardon me, Helen, but I see some people I know. You'll excuse me, won't you, Diamond?
Oh, sure, yes. But the next time you drop around, bring some Airwick, huh?
Rick. Even if you don't like him, you shouldn't say those things. He's liable to start a fight.
He wouldn't take a swing at a midget if he was riding an elephant.
I wonder who his friends are. They don't seem to be too glad to see him.
Their name's Sears.
Is that who you're watching?
Yeah, the wife.
I don't know whether I approve or not. She's very attractive.
Isn't she, though?
Rick!
This is business, baby, business. I'm only drooling because I haven't had anything to eat since this morning.
Well, then let's get a table. You've seen her. You've observed what she's doing. Now let's get something to eat.
Wait a minute. Here comes somebody else I know.
Where?
Standing at the check room.
The little man?
Yeah, here he comes.
Who is he?
Name's Cello, oh. Jimmy Cello. Writes a gossip column.
I read it all the time.
Yeah? Hello, Jimmy.
Well, a Broadway shamus. Who's the lovely redhead, Diamond?
Helen, meet James Cello, but be careful what you say. Jimmy, Helen Asher.
Hello, Mr. Cello.
How do you do? Is this an item, Rick?
If I don't get us a table soon, she's going to make me give back her sorority pin.
Speaking of tables, I see some people I know. Nice meeting you, Miss Asher.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Diamond.
Bye, Jimmy.
Rick, he's going over to Sears' table.
Hello, Walter. Hi, doll. Hi. Well, good evening.
What do you want, Cello?
Oh, I just dropped by to see how the happy little family was getting along.
Well, just drop away. Nobody asked you to stop by.
Yeah, why don't you do that and take Oliver here with you? Nobody asked him to stop by
Fred,
either.
Fred, keep your voice down.
This is my table, and I don't like a lot of crumbs lying all over it.
Who's a crumb?
Come on, Lorne. I guess Mr. Sears has forgotten a few things.
I haven't forgotten a thing, Cello. When you print one thing in that lying sheet of yours, and I'll have you sued for libel.
Listen, Sears, if I did print anything, they'd put you away so far they'd have to pipe air into you.
Oh, do go on, Mr. Cello. This is getting interesting.
You'd better get out of here, Cello.
No. Go on, Cello. What have you got on old money bag?
He's a lying, dirty gossip monger. He doesn't have a thing.
Wait a minute. I don't like that. Why don't you ask your husband about North Africa sometime, Mrs. Sears?
Just a minute.
Fred, stop it. Fred.
All right, now pick yourself up and get out of here, Cello.
Maybe you're right. I've got a column to get out. It'll be all about you, Sears, in big type.
Go on, get out.
How about me? You gonna throw me out, too?
You can bet your life I am.
I'm getting out of here.
You stay right where you are.
Don't talk that way to Mary.
I'll talk any way I like to my wife.
Lorne, maybe you'd better leave. Here come the waiters.
Now it's I'm gonna push this fat slob's face in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lorne, don't.
All right. Come on, break it up. Come on. Hey, waiter, give me a hand.
Come on.
Take your hands off me, Diamond. Now calm down, Mr. Sears.
I'll kill that slob.
Oliver, you shut up or I'll... pull your pants up over your head and shove you in a glass like a breadstick.
I don't like people meddling in my affairs, Diamond. You're fired.
I'm what?
You heard me. Now take your filthy hands off me.
Well, you were lily white before I palmed that check of yours this morning. You can have it back. Here, eat it.
What? I'll have you in jail for this, Diamond.
Why? It isn't every day you get to eat a $200 check.
Oh, Rick, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, baby, but that's what happens when you go to work for a hyena like Sears. You think he's a nice guy because he laughs so much. But you find out later it's only because he chewed your leg off. We left Sears still spitting out pieces of the check I'd shoved down his throat and headed for Helen's apartment. I was sore. When I get hot under the collar, I don't make for good company. So I dropped her off with a kiss and went back to my flat and climbed in the sack. I smoked a dozen cigarettes before I got to sleep. And when I finally did, it must have been with a big smile on my face. All night I kept dreaming that Lauren Oliver and Fred Sears were beating themselves to death with hot paper sacks. Sunshine Market. Locke's popovers are specialty.
Now, you stop clowning and get over here right away.
Walt?
Lieutenant Levinson.
Oh, wow.
Where are you?
I'm in your office.
Yeah? Well, if any clients come in, give them a good sales talk. Tell them how many people you've killed or something.
There's a guy in your office now.
Prospect?
Depends on what you're talking about. I think his name is Fritz Sears.
Tell him to go home. He canned me last night.
I don't think he'll listen.
All right, so he's sore.
He's got a right to be. He's dead.
Stop acting like an idiot, Walt. You know I didn't have anything to do with it.
I know you didn't, but we find the stiff in your office and we get a report that he fired you last night, but you had a fight with him. I gotta tell the commissioner something, Rick.
Tell him Sergeant Otis is teething.
Now, you stop that.
No, what do you know about the killing?
The coroner just left. He said that Sears had been dead about 8 hours. The cleaning woman found him at 9 this morning and called us.
That puts the time of the murder around 1 a.m.
We found this, clenched in the dead man's hand.
What is it?
An article torn out of the morning papers. Here, read it.
Ah, Jimmy Cello's column.
Read it.
All right, I will. Don't yell at me. Ah, Fred Sears, wealthy import-export man, is having troubles. He's finding it hard to explain about his past doings in North Africa, and at the same time, he's finding it just as hard to explain his wife's interest in the local playboy, nightclub owner Lauren Oliver.
Yeah.
He got so mad at the Stark Club... Oh, I was there. I was there. He got so mad at the Stark Club last night that he took a poke at your columnist and then tried to beat up Lauren Oliver. Will this lead to a rematch between Oliver and Sears?
We're having a whole bunch of them picked up.
Walt, before you do that, give me a couple of hours, will you? Try to dig up your killer?
I can't. You know what we've got to do. It's routine.
Well, the commissioner's already having fits every time he hears my name.
Now, look, Rick.
Walt, I got a business to protect. And if he finds out the stiff was killed in my office, he'll probably haul in my license.
Yeah. 1 hour, Rick. That's all I can give you. I got a job, too.
Oh, thanks, Walt.
I suppose you've got an alibi for 1 o'clock?
Call Helen. We were toasting marshmallows. Well, I had 3 good suspects. Lauren Oliver, Cello, the columnist, and Mrs. Sears. One of the 3 was built just right for the electric chair. An hour isn't much time to dig up a killer, so I grabbed a cab and headed for Lauren Oliver's office in the back of his club.
Yeah, come in.
How are you, Oliver?
Oh, what do you want, Diamond? Not particular about who comes into my club.
Oh, I'm surprised you can operate with that kind of policy. People probably see you in here every night.
I think I'll have you thrown out.
Where were you at 1 o'clock this morning?
None of your business. Herman.
Yeah, boss?
Come in here and show a guy out of my office.
Oh, we get rough, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you tell the cops who knocked off Fred Sears.
Hey, this the guy, boss?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Did you say someone knocked off Fred Sears?
That's right, but don't start crying about it. It makes me feel so helpless.
I'll tell my story to the cops.
They'll get a lot tougher than I will.
You won't get tough at all, Mac.
Oh, stop flexing, Herman. You'll snap your girdle.
Well, I guess it doesn't make much difference as long as Sears is dead. I was with his wife from about 12 o'clock it was a long time after 1.
Well, where were you all that time?
At my place. And now, take a walk, Shamus. You got my alibi.
One more question. Did you go out at all?
Yeah, I went out and got the late papers. So what? I like to read.
Okay. You don't mind if I stop by and see Mrs. Sears, do you?
No, go ahead.
I'll see you later. Oh, Herman.
Yeah?
You can let the air out now. Your muscles are lovely. Well, Oliver had a good story if it checked, so that left me with 2 more stops. Cello's newspaper office was the closest, so I grabbed another cab, and 10 minutes later, I was sitting at his desk.
Oh, you don't think I had anything to do with it, do you, Diamond?
Where were you at 1 this morning?
I was covering a party at Richard Gray's. I was with friends from about 11 o'clock till after 3. You can check. Go on, check.
Look, poison pen. Sears had your column from the late edition clenched in his hand.
He did, huh? Well, you don't think if I was going to kill a man, I'd leave anything like that around?
I don't know.
Well, obviously, someone is trying to make it look like I did it. Have you talked with Oliver and Sears' wife?
Oliver's got an alibi, and I'm headed for Mrs. Sears' place right now. You know the address?
Yes. 45 East 65th. But Mrs. Sears couldn't kill her husband. I know her too well.
No? Well, thanks, Cello. I'll check your alibi. If it stands up, then I'll have to really go to work on Mrs. Sears.
Yes?
Mrs. Sears?
Yes.
Oh, you look even better up close.
What's on your mind?
You mean right this minute?
Well, aren't you nice? Don't crowd me, though. I can keep up a pretty good average in this league.
I'd say about 1,000. Mm-hmm. May I come in?
I think so, if you keep talking. I like to hear nice things.
Well, you deserve them. But I can think of some nice things to say about a panther.
We'll talk about my family some other time. Can I buy you a drink?
It's a little early, unless you got some milk.
Milk?
Where's your husband?
Oh, you know about him, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. This looked as though it might work into quite a friendship.
Where is he?
I haven't seen him since last night. Why? Is he a friend of yours?
He's been using my office.
Oh?
Yeah. He died there last night.
What?
Everybody is so surprised.
But, how? Who did it?
That's what I'm trying to find out, lover. Where were you at 1 a.m.?
That's none of your business.
Okay, let the law drag it out of you. Goodbye, dear.
Wait a minute. All right, I'll tell you. I was with a man named Oliver, Lorne Oliver.
Oh, for how long?
From about 12 o'clock to, well, much later.
That's what Oliver says. Did you go out at all?
Just to get the papers.
That checks with Oliver's story, too. Did you go out alone?
Why, No, I went with Lorne.
He says he went out alone.
Oh, well, yes, he did.
I thought you said you went out with him.
Well, that was later. Lorne was the one that went out to get the papers.
Okay, what time is it?
About 2.
When you both went out or when Lorne went out to get the papers by himself?
When Lorne went out.
Oh, yes, now I see. Well, I'll see you later.
Come back again.
Oh, I'll do that after you get over crying for your late husband.
I'll keep my emotions down to a minimum.
I'll bet you will. I left her standing in the middle of the room, looking after me like a vegetarian with an eye on a green salad. I closed the door and started down the hall for the elevators. For some reason, I never seem to get where I'm going.
Hello.
Hmm?
Oh. Now, while you're still tuned in, Diamond, I'll give you some advice. Stay away from Mrs. Sears. Now, I want you to be sure and get the point. Rick, come on, snap out of it.
I'll go away.
Come on, you don't look so good.
It matches the way I feel. Oh, here's a new line. Where am I, Walt?
In Mrs. Sears' apartment.
Hello, handsome.
She heard the scuffle in the hall, came out, found you, and called me.
Swell.
Who did it?
I didn't see him, but his voice sounded like a thug that Lorne Oliver keeps around a patty cake with.
Oh, that was probably Herman. Lorne is so jealous.
Well, your hour is up, and now I'm going to haul them all in, including Miss Herman.
Oh, do you know Herman, Walt?
Sure, Herman Sharp. Got a record a mile long.
Walt, if a guy wanted to hire a killer, where would he go?
You know all the stoolies as well as I do.
Yeah. Mrs. Sears, what was the fight about last night at the Stork?
Oh, a columnist named Cello threatened my husband that he was going to print something in his paper. He said something about North Africa, and Fred hit him.
North Africa? This is really getting mixed up. Was your husband ever in North Africa?
Yes, during the war. He was a captain in the army.
Walt, can you get me this Herman Sharp's address? He's the boy I want.
Sure, but I'm coming along.
Have your boys pick up Cello, Oliver, and take them both down to the station along with Mrs. Sears here.
Well, you don't think I had anything to do with it, do you?
I've known Jimmy Cello a long time. About 5 years ago, he used to run around with a little dancer named Mary Carroll.
Sure he did. I'm Mary Carroll, but I broke up with him when I met Fred.
Yeah. Well, you'll see him at the station. You can pick up where you left off. Come on, Walt. We went down fast and climbed into the prowl car. Walt put in the call and got Herman's address over the two-way radio. 20 minutes later, we were standing in front of Herman's door. It was an old apartment house on the Lower East Side. I started for the door, but Walt had other ideas.
Rick, we can't go in there.
Why not?
Because I haven't got a search warrant.
Well, you got to go in if you want to crack this case.
Not without a search warrant.
Search warrant for what?
To go in.
Well, what do you want to go in for?
I don't want to go in. You do.
Do what?
Go in.
Well, go ahead.
I haven't got a warrant.
Well, what are you looking for?
Herman Sharp.
He's probably in there.
He is?
Sure.
Well, what are we waiting for? Oh, what did I do that for?
For that.
What?
Herman Sharp.
Oh.
Is he dead?
Yeah, been shot. What are you looking at?
Newspaper on the floor. This morning's. Huh. Cello's column's missing, been torn out.
Then Herman's your killer.
Swell, who killed Herman?
Don't you know?
I'm not going to start that again. Walt, go on back to the station. I'm going to check something and make a phone call. I'll be down in half an hour and point out your killer.
Now, calm down, everybody.
This is ridiculous. I want my lawyer.
You'll get one later.
Relax, Oliver. They can't hold it much longer. How do you feel, Mary?
I don't like this any more than you do.
Well, good afternoon. And happy Father's Day.
Oh. Rick, where the devil have you been?
Made a phone call to Washington, Walt. Mrs. Sears, did you know that your husband had a dishonorable discharge from the Army?
Why, No.
You knew it, didn't you, Cello?
That's right, but I kept it quiet. He got it for running a black market.
What's this got to do with the death of Sears?
Oliver, you told me you went out to get the papers last night.
That's right.
What time was it?
A little after 2. You know what time the late edition comes out.
How about you, Mrs. Sears?
What Lorne says is correct.
How about it, Lorne? Were you the one to go out and get the papers?
Yes.
Then, Mrs. Sears, why did you tell me this afternoon that you also went out to get the papers?
Well, I...
Mary, don't say anymore.
You don't have to. The stories don't check, so you couldn't have been together last night.
Look, Diamond, what is this
guy... Oh, now you look, Oliver. You're both liars. But that doesn't make either one of you the killer.
Oh, but Rick, Cello's alibi checks right down the line.
Sure it does, because he was at that party. But the killer wasn't.
Oh, we know that. He couldn't have been.
Yeah, but the man who hired the killer to knock off Sears was.
What are you talking about, Diamond?
Oliver, where was your hired Goniff last night?
You mean Herman?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He was with me until 6 o'clock, then he left.
Walt, when you find Herman's gun, ballistics will probably say that it was the one that did the job on Sears.
Herman?
Yeah. Cello, you hired Herman to kill Sears, and then you killed Herman.
You're out of your mind. I didn't even know this Herman.
We found the newspaper next to Herman's body. It had your column torn out of it.
That doesn't pin anything on me. It just shows you that Herman probably stuck that article in Sears' hand after tearing it out of a newspaper.
That's what you wanted to make it look like. You knew Herman. You knew about the clipping, so you killed him and tore the column out of this morning's newspaper.
Of course I knew about the clipping. You told me about it this morning in my office.
That's right. But you were the only one I told about it.
You couldn't convict Jack the Ripper on that kind of evidence.
I'm afraid he's right, Rick.
Cello, what time does the late edition come out?
About 2 o'clock.
Walt, what time was Sears killed?
Around 1.
Say.
Yeah, yeah. The killer couldn't have gotten hold of that column at 1 o'clock. The papers weren't even out on the street.
Well, then how did he do it?
Only one man could have gotten that column before 1 a.m., the man who wrote it.
Jimmy.
He tore it out of the galley sheets. The proofs that are made up before the paper goes to press. Cello hired Herman, gave him the clippings, and then went to the party.
Oh, you're doing great, Diamond. Keep it up.
You're still in love with Mary Sears. You were jealous of Oliver, so you hired Oliver's boy, Herman, figuring the cops would pin Sears' murder on Oliver. How am I doing?
You're a good liar and a rotten detective.
You knew I'd go to see Mary Sears, so you sent Herman to beat me up and make it look like Oliver was behind it.
What?
You tried to frame Oliver all along the line.
Why, you cheap little scandal snooper. I'll fix it so you don't frame anybody.
Wait a minute.
All right, break it up. Come on, break it down. Break it up.
Hey, Walt.
What is it, Rick?
Bye.
Good evening, Mr. Diamond.
Evening, Francis. Miss Asherin?
Yes, sir. She's in the library. She's a little tired from last night. I think she's taking a nap.
Well, I'll walk on my tippy toes. How about a glass of warm milk, Francis? I'm a little tired, too.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Well, look at the little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hers in dreamland. Poor little tired baby. The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly.
Oh, Rick.
The trembling trees embrace the breeze tenderly. Hello, baby.
Don't stop.
All right. Close your pretty eyes. Then you and I came wandering by.
Oh, wonderful.
And lost in our sigh were we.
Ricky.
The shore was kissed by sea and mist tenderly.
Ricky.
I can't forget how two hearts met breathlessly.
Ricky, come here.
Your arms opened wide and closed me inside.
Ricky, come here.
What is it, dear?
Just this.
Here's your milk, mister. Oh, my goodness. Now, this time I refuse to blush.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, High Averback, Joan Banks, Parley Bear, and Sidney Miller. Music was under the direction of David Baskerville. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by William P. Rousseau. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. This program has come to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast weekly over Podbean and iTunes. I'm Justine Ward, your host. Next, we have Richard Diamond, private detective, the Tom Waxman bombing case. First broadcast, June 26th, 1949, on NBC.
Here's Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there. I'm Diamond. Wonder if you've got any idea how much trouble a private detective can get into sometimes. Well, if you happen to have an office at Broadway and 53rd Street and the sign painted on your door reads Diamond Detective Agency, you're a setup for more trouble than a guy who goes bear hunting with a switch. I know, because I've got that office and the sign painted on the door. Sure, I've got a lot of idle time, and I use it up sitting around with my feet on the desk, waiting. But idle time can be as dangerous as a rattlesnake taking a sunbath. It's just a preliminary, the lull before the storm. You might wait an hour, a day, or maybe even a week. The quiet minutes keep multiplying, and sooner or later, things come to a head. Like one day last week. I'd been working on an extra long lull that didn't look like it was going anywhere. But in another part of town, a union meeting was taking place. It was going to keep me jumping around like a hungry flea at a dog show.
I wanted to talk to you, man. It's time that we did something. Laborers' Assistance League is already functioning in a great number of factories in this city. And it's getting a stronger foothold all across the country. It continues to expand and gain power because it operates best where there's growing unrest and discontent within the factories. Now, they cause trouble and make it look like the union's not doing a good job for the worker. I know for a fact that four or five men can sit in on a union meeting and cause enough trouble to make it look like the whole union is wrong. Now, this union is getting along fine.
He's really out to make trouble tonight.
Yeah. If he keeps it up, this is going to be a tough union to crack.
He won't keep it up. We're going to take care of him.
Oh, what good will that do? His brother Phil will be in from California next week.
We can shut his brother up, too. Are you sure he planned this thing with his brother?
Yeah. When he gets in from California, he's bringing enough information to put us out of business.
Well, that just gives us a week. He's talked too long. Let's break this meeting up.
He's doing just that.
Yeah? How do we know you're not talking through your hat?
Well, now, look, you all know me. I gripe as much as the next guy. But I know for a fact that this league is not only working like that all over the country, but now it's beginning to move in on our factories and our unions.
Yeah, but how do we know it's such a bad thing?
They're a bunch of racketeers. And if you don't believe me, you come to this meeting next week, and I'll give you the proof you want.
I don't have any doubt about it. I don't know.
Well, I guess you're right. He promised them proof in a week, and that's what his brother gets in.
Don't worry about it. When he gets the package, he won't be able to give anybody anything.
Tom, bring in the rest of the dinner dishes, will you?
Sure, honey.
Here, Mama, let me wash them. You talk to Tom for a minute. He's going to another meeting tonight.
Oh, meetings, meetings. Always meetings. Oh, Tom, you're working too hard.
Nah, don't worry, Mama. Phil will be home tomorrow. You got me.
Oh, this is not a good business, Tom. The phone call, the threats. Come on, Tom. Tell Mama.
I can't, Mama. It'll all be over soon. Now, come on. We'll help Marge.
I told you to go sit down and relax.
You sound like I was getting to be an old lady. You take the dish towel, and we'll both do them, huh?
Yeah.
Your wife thinks I'm getting too old to wash dishes. Just you wait until she has a daughter-in-law.
I think Mama's hinting.
Mama, shame on you. You give us the time to get the son first, then there's plenty of time for a daughter-in-law.
Well, I had you and Phil by the time I was 18. Marge is 22, and you've been married over a year now.
Mama, if you're so set on me raising a family, why don't you talk it over with Marge? Maybe you two can think up something.
We'll let you know.
Well, you do that, will you?
You better hurry up, Tom. You'll be late for the meeting.
All right, Mama. Oh, I'll get it.
No. You say goodbye to your lovely wife.
Why, thank you, Mama.
You know, before your father died, I only had time to raise two screaming roughnecks. But now I plan to be the grandmother of at least five more.
How about it, honey? Think we ought to make Mama happy?
This is a conspiracy. Who do you think's going to get left with all the work?
Maybe just three then, huh?
Silly. I love big families.
Oh, I thought so. Smooching when you ought to be on your way to the meeting.
Can't a guy even smooch with his own wife?
Who was at the door, Mama?
The mailman. He left our special delivery package for you, Tom. It's in the living room.
For me?
Yeah. Must be from Philip. It's from California.
Oh, he must be sending some stuff on ahead. Well, why don't you open it, Mama? Maybe it's something for you, too.
Oh, the women have dishes to wash. It's addressed to you. If you don't want to open it now, so leave it till tomorrow. Now, go on. Get out of my kitchen.
You know you're sounding more like a mother-in-law every day.
Oh.
Okay, I'll open it. You know, maybe it'd make you happier if you knew that Marge and I decided on five kids.
Children are not kids. Kids are goats.
Well, you never know.
Tom, John Wagner called you earlier.
A Wagner? What do you want?
He didn't say. Who's the package from?
Oh, it's from Phil, all right. I know it's a surprise because he sent it to me at the shop first and then they sent it on here. Wonder why I didn't get it at the shop.
Well, what is it?
Just a second, Mama. Wrapped up pretty tight. Boy, it's sure heavy.
Diamond Detective Agency, murder solved cheap. We eliminate the middleman.
George, that was a good one.
Is this Lieutenant Levinson, the homicide kingpin?
Yeah. Rick, get down here, will you?
What's up, lover?
Something pretty nasty.
Well, tell Otis to stop leaving his bubble gum under the seats.
No kidding, Rick. This is something that you want to know about.
Well, stop sounding like an auctioneer at a mortuary and tell me what it is.
You know the Waxmans?
Mama Waxman?
Yeah.
Sure, I had dinner over there last week. Took Helen. What's happened, Walt?
Last night, someone sent Tom Waxman a box with a bomb in it.
What?
I knew you were a friend of the family, and I've got to talk with you. Come down here, will you?
You know it. I closed the office and grabbed a cab for Walt's precinct. All the way over, I kept thinking about Mama Waxman and her two sons. I'd known the whole family when I used to be on the force. Tom, who used to sing first tenor at the synagogue, had gotten hit in the throat with a baseball. And Cantor Weinberg asked me to take over for him, so I sang that day in Tom's place. Mama Waxman heard me and asked me over later for the best dinner I'd ever eaten. We've been friends ever since. The cab dropped me off at the station, and I went in fast. Sergeant Otis was sitting at his desk reading the police gazette. Hello, Otis. Stop panting. They're just pictures.
Oh, it's the comic gum show. Go on in, Diamond. The lieutenant expects you.
Well, thanks, Sergeant. Oh, by the way, when are you going to get a haircut? You're beginning to look like Rasputin with a Tony. Hello, Walt.
Sit down. I got a real headache.
How much damage did the bomb do?
Plenty. Killed Tom and put his wife and mother in the hospital. Mama Waxman's pretty bad.
Oh, that's awful. Any line on the killer?
Yeah, that's why I got this headache. We're holding Phil Waxman, Tom's brother.
Holding Phil? Are you crazy? Those two kids were inseparable.
Tom's wife said that the box the bomb came in was from Phil. She heard Tom say so before he opened it.
Well, she could have been mistaken. Someone could have copied Phil's handwriting. The story's got more holes in it than a fishnet.
The package was sent from California, Rick. That's where Phil was. He got in this morning and we picked him up at the train.
What does he say?
I thought at first he was going to say plenty, but then some guy comes in and says that he's his lawyer. After the guy left, Phil shut up like a clam.
He denies the crime, doesn't he?
Oh, sure, but that's all. Can't get anything else out of him.
Who was this guy who claimed to be his lawyer?
I got it right here. Name is John Wagner.
You check on him?
Yeah, he's a lawyer, all right, but we can't find an address on him. Moved his offices about 3 weeks ago.
Can I talk to Phil?
Won't do you any good. But if you want to, have Otis take you over to the tombs.
I won't have to hold Otis's hand, will I?
Oh, go on. Get out of here.
somebody to see you, Waxman. All right, Diamonds, you got 5 minutes.
How are you going to keep track, Otis?
On my fingers.
Well, that'll only get you up to 13. I'll scream if I need you. How are you, Phil? You're in on a tough rap.
Yeah.
You want to tell me about it?
I've told the police everything I'm going to.
Who was the lawyer who came in to see you?
Just a lawyer.
John Wagner?
Just a lawyer.
Look, what were you doing in California? Now, Phil, I know you didn't send that bomb. Why don't you open up and get yourself free?
I've said all I'm going to say. Now, get out of here, Diamond.
Oh, it's like that, huh?
Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, come on.
Go on, get out.
Okay. But don't forget your mother. You don't want to let her down. I'm going over to the hospital and see her now. Hey, Otis, let me out of here. Hello, Mama.
What? Who? Oh, Richard. How's my big policeman?
Fine, Mama.
Did you know that one of my wonderful sons is dead? Did you know that, Richard?
Yes, Mama. Now, you take it easy. The doctor won't let me stay.
They killed my Tom because what he said was the truth. And that's why they are bad. Because they don't let people tell the truth.
Who, Mama?
My boy Phil knows. He will tell everything about them, and then they will be arrested.
Sure, Mama, but who does Phil know about? I just saw him, and he won't tell me. Mama.
I feel so sleepy. I'm tired.
Mama.
You'll have to leave now, Mr. Diamond.
Is she asleep, nurse?
Yes, we gave her an injection before you got here.
Oh. Well, then may I see Mrs. Tom Waxman?
For a minute, yes. She's in this next room. She isn't as serious as Mrs. Waxman, but she has to rest. I'll give you a minute with her.
Marge?
Yes. Who is it? Rick. Oh,
now, come on. You got to help me out. I'm the guy that's supposed to make people laugh. I'm the cornball with a bad line of chatter, remember?
I can't help it. Sorry, they gave me something to make me sleep, and things don't make too much sense.
Look, dear, I want to help Mama, and I want to help you, too. But the nurse will only let me stay a minute. The police are holding Phil. I just came from seeing him.
Did he tell you anything?
Nothing.
I made a mistake and told the police that the bomb had arrived in a package from Phil. I didn't think they can't believe Phil would ever do a thing like that. He was helping Tom.
Mama said Phil knows who did it.
He doesn't know. He just knows who's behind it. I'm pretty sure I know, too.
Who, Marge?
Tom's been making speeches against an organization that call themselves the Laborers' Assistance League.
I've heard of them. King-size bunco game.
Yeah. Phil's been in California. He joined the league and found out a lot of things about it. He used to write Tom once a week.
Your time's up, Mr. Diamond. You'll have to leave.
Just a second. Marge, did Tom tell anybody what his brother was doing?
I don't know. There was a man named John Wagner that called Tom all the time.
John Wagner? He's a lawyer.
Please, Mr. Diamond.
Did he tell any of the men who work in the shop with him?
Yes, I think so.
Mr. Diamond, I'll have to call the doctor.
Please, nurse. This may mean another man's life. Marge, who did he tell?
Well, I can only remember one person. Ralph Pryor.
Pryor.
Mama used to fix Tom and Ralph dinner after work sometimes, but He was Tom's closest friend.
Okay, Marge. Now, you take it easy, and I'll see what I can do.
Please, Rick, find the men who did this.
Yes. Well, I'll try. All right, nurse.
I shouldn't have let you stay this long.
What would I have to do to get you to take care of me?
Have an accident.
Well, I'll see what I can come up with. Bye. I left the hospital and walked out of the street. One of those sidewalk photographers snapped my picture and handed me a card in case I wanted to send him 2 bits for the print. I threw the card away and headed for the factory where Tom had been working. The superintendent took me down and introduced me to the new foreman of the shop.
Yeah, pretty rough about Tom.
That's an understatement. Tell me, when did you take over Tom's job as foreman?
This morning.
How long have you worked for this shop?
About 3 years. Why, are you a cop?
I might be. You know a guy named Ralph Pryor?
Sure, that's him, right over there by that third turtle. Want me to call him over?
No, I think I can make it under my own power. Hey, you Ralph Pryor?
Yeah.
You knew Tom Waxman pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, don't cry on the machinery, it'll rust.
Who are you? What do you want?
Name's Diamond. Let's say I'm a friend of the family.
Well, good for you. What are you snooping for?
I've got an erector set. I just love machinery.
Well, don't get too close to this machine or it'll take your arm off.
As long as it's not the one I count my money with. How long have you worked here?
None of your business.
Where were you during the war?
Same answer.
Well, thanks, Mr. Pryor. You've been grand. Hey, foreman.
Yeah. Did you talk to Pryor?
Yeah, he's the quiet type. Say, how does the mail come in here?
From the mail room.
Ask a silly question. No, I mean, who brings it in?
No special one. Foreman usually sends someone after it.
Do you remember a package coming here for Tom yesterday or the day before?
No, if there'd been one, Tom would have seen it. He was the foreman then.
Where can I find the mail room?
Up the hall to head the stairs.
Thanks.
Sure is too bad about Tom.
You said that. Say, didn't I know you all back in Little Rock, Arkansas?
No. I'm from Malvern.
I just thought I'd ask. I went up and talked to the mailroom clerk, and he was a little more help. There had been a package for Tom. He told me that he'd sent it down along with some other mail, but he couldn't remember who'd picked it up. I was beginning to get warm, and I knew it. So I slipped into a phone booth and put in a fast call to Lieutenant Levinson.
Homicide, Sergeant Otis.
Otis, let me talk to the lieutenant.
Oh, it's you, Diamond. Why don't you stop playing like a detective?
Why don't you buy the lieutenant a necktie for his birthday, a fuzzy green one?
You think he'd like that?
Sure, and if the clerk has never seen a fuzzy green one before, just show him your tongue. Now put the lieutenant on.
Lieutenant Levinson.
Walt, did you find out anything about that bomb?
Oh, yeah, Rick. It was dynamite, highest grade. But I don't see how it could come all the way from California through the mails without the caps blowing the whole thing up.
Neither do I. Do me a favor, will you? Pick up a Ralph Pryor. He works at the same shop that Tom Waxman did.
What can I hold him on?
Just picking him up. Pick him up for questioning. Since when do you need an excuse?
Now, you wait a minute. If you know something about this
I've
case,
just I'll... got a hunch. Pick the guy up, and I'll be down in a little while and tell you all about it. I hung up on Walt just as he was getting around to the words you could censor and headed back to the factory. I waited around outside for about 10 minutes, and then, sure enough, a prowl car pulled up, and 2 boys in blue got out and went in. In a couple of minutes, they came back outside, only this time they had company. Ralph Pryor. I waited until they pulled away, and then I hailed a cab and headed to the 5th Precinct myself.
Where have you been?
Snooping, Walt. I just saw your boys pick up Pryor at the factory. Thanks.
Now, would you kindly tell me what you wanted him picked up for?
Oh, it's a long shot, Walt. I found out he knew what Tom's brother was doing in California.
What was he doing?
Getting some information on a racket that's been trying to muscle in on Tom's local union.
In California?
Yeah, they're operating all over the country. You've heard of them. Laborers Assistance League.
Oh, those leeches. Well, I still don't see what this has got to do with Pryor.
Well, I think that bomb was sent from the factory here in New York. And I found out a little while ago that in order to get hold of that package, the killer would have to be working in Tom's shop.
You think Pryor did it?
I'll tell you better when I see if anyone comes down to get him out.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, what are we going to do? Sit here and look at each other?
Well, that's a pretty ghastly thought.
How about a fast game of canasta?
Oh, you know, it's a lousy two-handed game.
Well, I'm just trying to help.
We could play jacks, but twosies throw me.
Yeah, what is it, Otis?
The lawyer, John Wagner, is out here. He says he wants to see the guy we just picked up.
Fast word?
Ralph Pryor?
Yeah. He says he represents some kind of laborer's assistance league or something. Said that Pryor's a member.
All right. Let him see him.
Okay, Lieutenant.
John Wagner, that lawyer who came in to see Phil Waxman this morning, is back again, Rick. It's time to see Pryor.
Yeah?
Well, what are you looking so smug about?
Looks like the hunch is going to pay off.
You mean this lawyer is tied in with the killing?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think so. Tom Waxman was making speeches against the Assistance League. Now a lawyer from the league shows up to help the only guy who knew what Tom was up to and worked in the same shop with him.
Now, I suppose you want me to hold the lawyer.
No, Walt. Why?
How do I know? That's what I asked you.
What? Am I supposed to know everything? Lock him up if you want to.
What for? He's not guilty.
How do you know he's not guilty?
Because you had me pick up Ralph Pryor.
Well, let him go, too.
Let him go where?
With his lawyer.
I thought you wanted me to lock up the lawyer.
Walt, that was your idea.
What was?
Locking up the lawyer.
I don't want to lock up the lawyer.
Well, let him go.
He's not in. Pryor is.
Well, let him go.
Who?
Phil Waxman.
How did he get in here?
I don't know. You put him in.
Of course I put him in. Now, why should I let him out?
I don't know. I ask you.
Ask me what?
Why you put him in.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Empty the jails and throw this idiot out of my office.
Thanks, Walt.
Bye.
I went out in the squad room and spotted the lawyer just as Otis started back into Walt's office with a glass of bicarbonate. He was a little guy, dressed neatly in a Homburg, blue suit, and spats. I made sure that he was my man, and I went out in front of the precinct to wait. I hung around for about half an hour until he finally came out, and then I started the tale. He grabbed a cab, and so did I. We went across town, and I watched him as he got out and went into a big building on 38th Street. I went in after him. We rode the same elevator to the 8th floor. We both got out. I made like I was looking for a room number, and he went in the door with a sign on it reading Continental Shipping, offices in New York, California, and London. I got close to the door and could hear a phone being dialed. I'd have given my eye teeth, complete with the fillings, to have heard what the conversation was about.
Yes, yes, I just went down to see him. He'll be released in an hour. I've got him passage on the tramp steamer. When they release him, he'll meet me at a place I've picked, and I'll give him the ticket. I'll tell him the police are up to something, and he'll have to get out of the country. Now, don't worry about that. He'll never get there. The captain of the ship is being paid to see that he doesn't. All right. Yes, everything is going as well as can be expected. Oh, one more thing. A friend of Waxman's, a private detective, is following me. One of our men took his picture coming out of the hospital after seeing Waxman's mother. Yes, well, don't worry about it. I can take care of him when the time comes. All right, goodbye.
I waited until he came out of the building and the hunt was on again. I grabbed another cab and it took my last $3 chasing him to a little waterfront dive on Canal Street. I followed him in and watched him sit down in a booth at the back of the room. I made like an unhealthy patron and took a table near the door where I could watch. An hour later, a guy walked in and headed for the lawyer's booth. He was Ralph Pryor. He talked with the lawyer for a minute, then took an envelope from him and got up. He went out, and I went after him. If I was right, he was my killer. And the lawyer could wait. Ralph.
Huh?
I want to talk to you.
I thought I told you to stop snooping.
Bad right ear. Let's step in this alley.
Oh, what?
Get in the alley.
Hey. What do you think, you're shoving around?
You're just full of questions.
You know, mister, you're not so big that you can't end up with a busted head. Now, let me go.
I guess you better understand something.
Oh!
Get the point?
Well, you dirty...
Still want to play, huh?
Oh! Oh!
Maybe you haven't guessed it, but I'm mad. I'm going to kick you from one end of this alley to the other until you tell me who sent that bomb to Tom Waxman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. The state might slap my wrist, but I don't like losing good friends.
Oh, my nose.
You should see Mama Waxman. She looks a lot worse, but she's got a lot more troubles. She lost a son.
Oh. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't take any more.
Sure you can. Sure. Just think about something else. Tom Waxman, maybe, or his wife and mother. Want to tell me? Okay.
No. Please. Wait a minute. All right, I did it. I did it. Leave me alone, will you?
You picked up a dummy box sent from California to the factory and you planted a bomb in it.
Yeah.
Why? Because Brother Phil had evidence enough to smear the league?
You know a lot, don't you? Sure, Tom was going to present the evidence in front of his union. And the league sent an empty box from California addressed with Phil's forged handwriting. I went up to the mailroom and picked up the box and put the bomb in it and sent it to Tom's house.
You do it for the league?
Yeah, I did it for them.
Who's the boss of the league? Come on, come on.
All right.
Now you'll never know. Wow. Mr. John Wagner, complete with Derringer.
I hope you noticed the error of his ways, Mr. Diamond. He talked too much.
You got a funny way of keeping clients out of trouble.
I'm glad you noticed. I'm going to do the same for you.
Won't you need a retainer?
No, this one's on the house, so to speak.
I think you're going to get one anyway. That cop at the end of the alley with a riot gun doesn't look like he's hunting gophers.
That is a very stale attempt at throwing me off guard. Anyone that would be stupid enough to try a worn-out stunt like that deserves to die. You'll make it easy for me.
Okay, suit yourself. Fire when ready, Gridley.
What do you think? You...
Thanks, Walt. You arrived in the nick.
Nick Pick, a big azunt. Why can't you get mixed up with a wife beating or something? The taxpayers are getting tired of seeing their streets cluttered up with a lot of bodies.
Why don't you yell at me? How did you find me?
I knew something was up, so when Ralph Pryor was released, I tailed him. I saw you tailing Pryor. I saw the lawyer tailing you, so I tailed the lawyer.
Well, if you'd had an eight-piece band, you'd have had a parade.
Oh, nuts.
Oh, what's the matter, Walt? You'd have had to shoot him. He was going to kill me.
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Well, what is it?
I forgot to bring my bicarbonate along. Oh.
Well, the wagon came and crated Pryor and the lawyer off to the morgue. When we got back to the station, Walt put in a call to the feds and told them to check the Laborers Assistance League in California and pick up the guys who sent the package through the mails. Using the mails like that can be a tough rap. And 3 weeks later, the government closed in. They picked up the big wheel and threw the whole bunch away for 10 to 20. Tom's brother, Phil, was released, and he went in front of Tom's union and gave them the evidence he'd collected while he was with the League. Needless to say, the League wasn't represented that night or any night after that. About 3 weeks after Mama Waxman came home from the hospital, she invited me over for one of her famous dinners. I brought Helen, and her butler, Francis, came along to help with the serving. Hi, Mama, I'm stuffed.
Well, Richard, you didn't finish up the cheesecake.
Can't make it, honey.
I can't move. Oh, Helen's a good girl. She ate everything in front of her. You know what? You two should get married.
Her appetite is the best argument against getting married I can think of.
Keep working on him, Mama. All right. Now, let's all go into the front room. If I know my big policeman, he still likes to stretch out on the couch. Huh?
You are so right. Here, let me help you, Mama.
Thank you, Richard. There's Francis.
Oh, he's in making some coffee.
Oh, he's been such a help. Before the accident, it was nothing to serve supper.
You sit right here, honey.
All right. Thank you. Oh, I won't have to eat another thing for a week.
Here's the coffee, Mrs. Waxman.
Francis, you must call me Mama, like the rest.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Mama?
Did you have enough to eat also, Francis?
It was simply wonderful. You know, someday if Miss Asher doesn't mind, I'd like to stop by and, well, just swap recipes, as it were.
Well, I think that would be wonderful, Francis. Why don't you do that? I'll give you some fine ones, Francis.
Where's Phil tonight, Mama?
He had to go to our union meeting. He's going to work in Tom's shop. He also asked me to thank you for singing at the funeral.
Glad to do it, Mama.
Richard, we always wondered where you learned to sing in Yiddish.
Well, I used to pound a beat on the Lower East Side.
Oh. Well, would you do me a big favor, Richard?
Sure, dear.
I'm feeling a little sad about my boy tonight. Would you sing something for me? This song he liked you to sing.
Oh, eh? I'm a little full of dinner, Mama.
Please,
oh, yes, sir. Please, Mr. Diamond.
Well, all right. Mimi, Mimi.
A Yiddish medal, daf a Yiddish boy.
Pretty good for a shake, huh, Mama?
Oh, fine.
Du shena medo in es darf sein a zoi.
What does it mean?
Don't tell her, Mama.
Weil in de teure is geschwitten in a zoi is du verblieben a Yiddish medo darf a Yiddish boy.
Oh, that was wonderful, Richard. You know, you would make a fine cantor.
Well, thank you, Mama. How did you like it, Francis?
Ha! As a cousin, Mr. Gitten, this was it.
What?
Francis.
What did he say, Mama?
He said, as a cantor, you would make a fine dishwasher.
Your
just heard Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Hey, Eddie, you mind if I butt in for a minute?
Not at all, Dick.
Thanks. I just wanted to tell the people that next week our show is going to be on at a different time and a different day. The day will be Saturdays instead of Sundays. And would you please look in your newspapers for the time?
Thanks, Dick. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Richard Diamond will come to you next Saturday at a new time. Be sure to check your newspaper for the hour. This program has come to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Union busting has become a lot more sophisticated since the late 1940s, but it still happens. Next week, we will continue with highlights of the Richard Diamond Private Detective series. I hope you can join us again then. This is Justine Ward, your host, and everyone at the Old Time Radio Hour saying, so long for now.